Oh, they're doing great. The contractor is producing them faster than we had anticipated, and we're getting them out to the field as fast as possible.
And just tell us how they get from Wisconsin to Afghanistan.
From Wisconsin, they're trucked to Space Warfare Command down at Charleston, South Carolina, where we do some government-furnished equipment integration. We put some radios and some jammers and things like that on the vehicles. And then they either go to the aerial port, the Charleston Air Force Base, or when we get the pipeline full, we're going to put them at the seaport and send them through sea. So right now they're going on airplanes right out of Charleston Air Force Base. They take about a day and they go right into Afghanistan.
So that's because that you want to expedite the delivery?
Absolutely. We're going to send about 300 to 500 vehicles via the aerial path. And fill up the pipeline, and then we're going to quickly outproduce that aerial pipeline. We'll continue to use it, and then we'll start sending them by sea.
So it sounds like, just as an aside, a case for increased airlift capability, even as everyone's debating the C-17. You probably don't want to get into that one.
So tell us about the capability that you have with this new MRAP that wasn't in previous vehicles.
In previous vehicles before MRAPs, we didn't have the mine protection underneath to the levels that we wanted. So with MRAP, we had a specification to prevent damage from mines, underbody mines, and other IEDs. And all MRAPs are tested to that same specification, including this MATV. That threshold specification is met by all MRAPs, including this one.
And the vehicles that are in theater now in Afghanistan, what becomes of them?
They're still going to use MRAPs. There are still missions where the MRAPs and other vehicles, Humvees and things like that, will still need to be used. The commanders on the ground have a tool set of various different vehicles, and the commanders on the ground make the determination of which vehicle is appropriate for which mission.
All right, so this just becomes a bigger tool in the arsenal.
Absolutely.
And what about support while the trucks and these vehicles are there? They can survive some damage and be repaired in fields. So how do you maintain the logistics tail to make sure that you can repair them and the spare parts are there?
Excellent question. We actually, during source selection and when we let the contract, we actually bought the spare parts and the field service representatives up front for this program. And actually the spare parts arrived in theater before these first vehicles, and the field service representatives are already there waiting on the vehicles. So we are poised to support this vehicle through the long run.
We're talking to Dave Hansen, Principal Civilian Deputy Program Manager for the Joint Mine Resistant Ambush Protected Vehicle Program for the Marines Corps Systems Command. So were there challenges that you had to overcome in getting these MRAPs produced so quickly?
The challenges that we had were a very compressed timeline. This is an urgent requirement, and the initial request came to us in October of last year. And then we had to do a very fast source selection. Of course, we were focused on survivability and the mobility of this vehicle. And so we worked basically from January until we let the contract in June to test those vehicles, to down-select from the various vendors that were offering us vehicles so that we could choose the best vehicle for this mission. So that was a huge challenge. The industry has a huge challenge as well, because we did ask them to produce these vehicles as fast as possible and to get up to 1,000 vehicles a month in production as fast as possible. And so these vendors have really gone out and cranked up the supply base and the industrial base to do that. And this vendor that has the contract, Oshkosh, is doing that and actually producing ahead of schedule.
And are you getting feedback from the operators of them, the people that drive them, operate the gun in them, ride in them? What are they saying? What are they telling you?
Absolutely. First of all, I'll tell you that we had operators from Iraq and Afghanistan who had previously ridden in MRAPs help us during the source selection and help us choose which vehicle was going to be the vehicle we were going to buy. And then since then, we've continued testing, and we continue to get feedback every day on some of these things, and we actually make changes along the way, just like we did in the original MRAP program. So we continue to improve this vehicle all along the way.
And so, Mr. Hansen, is there special training that the warfighter needs in order to drive the MRAP?
We do give some special training, but the vehicle itself, the MRAP, is a very heavy vehicle. So we mostly have drivers who have, we have lots of drivers who have driven MRAPs now, since we have well over 15,000 of them fielded. But on the MATV, it's a lot lighter vehicle. It's a smaller vehicle. I've been put in the vehicle, and I'm not a trained driver, and I've gotten in the vehicle and been able to drive it pretty quick. But we do have a training package. Depending on the commanders and how much time they have, the minimum amount of time we'll do some training is about 14 hours, and then the maximum amount of time is about 40 hours of training. So depending on the commanders and the operational environment, we can do it in as little as 14 or as much as 40 hours.
So can you just clarify for me, the MATV, does that have the same protections that the MRAP does, or what's the difference there?
No, it's exactly the same. We tested the threshold protection survivability to the exact same threshold as the MRAP.
So. Okay, it's just got more capacity in terms of its traction and ability to go over mountainous terrain?
It's lighter weight. It's about 10,000 pounds lighter than our current lightest MRAP, and it has some better mobility to go off-road, correct.
And they're all painted the color of sand?
They are. They're all very brown.
And that's a good thing, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And what about the contractor, Oshkosh? Do they have a permanent contract with you to produce these? I mean, is this the totality of the number of MATVs you're expected to produce will be done by them?
We have an IDIQ contract. I'm not sure if your listeners all understand that. So it's indefinite delivery, indefinite quantity contracts. And the ceiling on that contract is 10,000 vehicles. And we have ordered, or we have the ability to order up to 5,244 of those on this current contract. And then the Joint Requirements Oversight Council has given us another requirement of up to an additional 1,400 on top of that. And our contracting and legal folks are working to figure out if we can add those to this current contract or not.
Well, that's probably good news for Oshkosh.
Absolutely.
And this is strictly a Marines vehicle, or it's called Joint, so I imagine the Army will also employ the same vehicle later on?
This is absolutely a Joint program. In fact, these MATVs are going to all services, all four services, plus SOCOM.
And how were you selected as how was the military decide who gets to oversee the contract? Why would it be the Marines?
The Marine Corps is just where we have the program manager of the Joint Program Office, but our program office is geographically separated between TACOM in Warren, Michigan.
And that's Tank and Automated Armaments Command?
Tank Automotive Command.
Automotive.
And in Warren, Michigan. And our Joint Program Office includes several hundred people from the Army, and it is very joint. We have some Air Force representatives here. We have some SOCOM representatives. And so this is very much a joint program office. The Marine Corps just has the lead on MRAPs, and that's been that way since the inception of the MRAP program.